Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 31 this morning is where we want to bring our message from. And Lord, don't change our mind and take us somewhere else. You know, He's got the ability to do that. And He's got the prerogative if that's what He wants. We'll just be submissive to His will and just want to do what He would ever have us to do, whether we're prepared or not. And we need to be prepared in the day and time that we live. We need to be looking for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it could happen, as we've said before, any moment, any time, that it is that much has been fulfilled that it could take place. So we need to be watching, we need to be praying, we need to be ready for that time to happen. There's so many today that are seeking financial gains, and we saw how that can come to an end, starting in 2001, and when we had the crash 6 days after the 9/11 attack there in New York City, in Pennsylvania, and the places there that happened. We see that the biggest crash happened to the financial market in its history. 7 years later, the same thing happened again. The stock market takes another crash. Coincidence? I don't think so. When you go and you look at the numbers of seven and the things that happened. But we see that people were trying to make preparation for the future as far as finances. And when we look into the being prepared to know God, we don't have to look at finances. We need to look at our soul salvation, to look at our walk with God, that we be ready, that we seek a treasure that's not of this earth. Amen. That we seek after the treasure that God would have for us. Verse 31 of chapter 12, it says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." We need to be, as the apostle wrote, that he was content in the state that he was in. How many times have you ever heard that you need to be content in the state that you're in? We're never content. Some of us can be in certain things, and we don't have as much debt. Some of us can't be as content in things, and so we have greater debt, because we always want something more. But God tells us through His Word that we need to be content in the things of this world and seek the kingdom of God. And during this Christmas time, what we need to see is we need to seek Him and tell what the true gift of Christmas is. Not all the presents, not all the things that we see, not all the Christmas trees. That has been a great money maker for a lot of folks here in the county, being able to raise those trees and ship them worldwide, some of them. But it's more than those things. It's what stands behind the reason for the season. And to seek the kingdom of God is to seek after Jesus and what He is for each one of us, what He has intended for each one of our souls to do, to seek after that we can have the riches of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now let me tell you, God will take care of your needs, and guess what? He takes care of a lot of your wants. He's blessed us all with more than we deserve. If we got rewards for a way that we treat God sometimes, we would be paupers when it comes to being paid back for our service to Him. But I'm glad He's not that way. I'm glad He gives me far and above what I am deserving of. Because if I got what I deserve, hell would have been in my home. I wouldn't have had no hope. I wouldn't have had no reason to stand here and proclaim God's goodness today if I got what I deserved. But I'm thankful that Jesus saw me and He said, "I'll go for that one." And He saw you and He said, "And I'll go for that one." He didn't leave any of us out. He included all of mankind when He came. But are we seeking the kingdom of God? In America, we have failed to seek the kingdom of God. We're worried about foreign nations. We're worried about the superpowers. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. And we have forgot to seek after the kingdom of God. We've took our eyes off the most valuable thing, and we've placed our values upon things of this world that are temporal, that will pass away, instead of putting them on the things that's eternal of God. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We have fears now because of what we see going on around us. We look at finances and we have worries. We look at other things that's going on in the world, with people threatening to use their chemical weapons against their own people and different things that's going on. We're worried about nuclear fallout from earthquakes that take place and bring great destruction in just a few moments of time. And again this week, a great earthquake there didn't cause the destruction as the other one did, but still yet the potential is there. This ground and earth that we live on is moving and shaking and trembling. So as we should be for fear for those that are lost and dying and going to hell, because it is also a movement in heaven taking place as God is making preparation to call His children out of this world to get us out of all these troubles and cares that we are in. I knew something didn't feel right. Still had my coat on. I felt like I was in a straitjacket. Now He's got free. We'll be all right. But there's so many things that we look at and we fear, but don't fear, little flock. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. To give us the kingdom. If we set our eyes upon the heavenly kingdom that He has prepared, take our eyes off the worldly kingdoms and look to God, it is His good pleasure to give us His kingdom. He's prepared a place for people that were unworthy to go there, but He made us worthy through His blood. He made us righteous through His righteousness, not through mine, not through yours, and not through the things that we can do, but through what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither a moth corrupteth. Now, boy, when we get down to talking about this, we want to get really close to somebody and talk about finances. But have we sold out to the service of God that we are laying up a treasure in heaven that can't be touched by the thief? You put your house there under lock and key, and you hope and pray that it's protected. But those locks are only good for honest people. People that are going to be a thief, that are going to do whatever to have whatever, that lock's not going to stop them. Moth is going to come in, and I had some suits hanging in the closet, and they'd got too little for me, or I'd got too big for them. I don't know which one it was. I like the too little for me part. But anyhow, they had hung in the closet in the back, and when I got them out, something had got in there and eat holes in them. Hadn't bothered anything else, but it had eat a hole in that suit, therefore rendering it useless because of where it was at. But the moths that are not going to be able to enter into heaven to corrupt the things that we're going to lay up there, the treasure that are not going to tarnish, the rewards that we lay up there are not going to be touched by anyone else, not claimed by anyone else. We see advertisements for all this unclaimed money and things that's sitting around. But if they owed me that kind of money, I'd been sure to claim it. But I wonder about people that's got stuff out there that ain't claimed it, why they hadn't claimed it. Might not have been by the most legitimate means, maybe, that they didn't reclaim it or whatever it might be. But I'm glad everything that I can do here to lay up in heaven, I'm going to be able to lay back at Jesus' feet. I'm not going to need it to put it up there. There's not going to be no banks in heaven. No banks, no doctors. No, let me rephrase that. No doctors' offices. There may be some doctors there that truly are saved and ready to go. I need to clarify that. Somebody said there'd be no lawyers there either, but I'm sure there's some out there that's saved. Some of them don't act like it, but there's people out there that are saved. We're not going to need those practices anymore, because we're going to be in a place where there'll be no sickness. There's going to be no need for a lawyer. You know, you can sue somebody because you don't like the shirt they wear. Yeah, that's how silly our court systems have got. And we could do that and tie up the court systems over silly stuff when there's important things out there that we need to be worrying about, like soul salvation of those that are lost. The one worry that we should have as Christians is worrying about the lost and the dying. That they might be saved, that they might hear the word. Are we seeking the kingdom of God? If we are truly seeking the kingdom of God as children of God, we're going to have a concern for those that we want to give them what we have. That we want to share with them, because it's not going to take away from you, it's only going to add to your riches. To see a friend or a neighbor there that listen to you and listen to your testimony and surrender their life to God. Of course, He has to do the drawing, but your voice may be the one that breaks their heart. And you know, I heard something the other day. There was a man, he was out busting rock with a hammer. And the guy asked him, said, which one of the blows breaks the rock? I never thought about it. But we always give credit to the last blow. But it's all of them that brings the fracture that busts the rock. It takes all of our testimonies to a hard, stony heart maybe sometimes. But not the last one, that it's whenever they give in to God, because God's going to put the final strike in their heart. And it's going to completely bust it. But your testimony is like those licks upon those hard rocks. Each one may be a little softening, cause a little crack here and a little crack there. God ultimately is the one that has the credit for the drawing and the changing of the heart and through the for the salvation. But friend, if you don't put your lick in there, it takes a little longer. So don't ever think that the smallest thing that you do is not significant for God. He said to seek the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek it in great riches. He didn't say seek it with great billboards of great influence. He said seek the kingdom of God. Ever how we need to, ever how God directs us to, what task He gives us, that's part of our seeking of the kingdom of God. To do what He would have when He speaks to our heart, to listen. Sandra said to a friend this week, and sometimes God says, be still and know that I am God. And He speaks to us in that small, still voice, and it becomes our responsibility and duty to listen when He speaks. When He's nudging your heart, if someone has a medical problem, or somebody God's telling you has a financial need, or somebody needs to be witnessed to about salvation, don't take that lightly. God has a great work in store for your life if you will go out and act upon what God's nudging your heart to do. Hear that small voice and listen. Whether it's to pray for the preacher or the deacons or one of the widows or someone that's just lost a loved one or someone that has the flu, nothing is too small or too big that God will require of you. Just act upon it and God will bless you to carry that out. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. There will your heart be also. I want to read that right. So many times the word's twisted just a little bit and quoted quite out of text, means the same thing, but it's not worded exactly the same. But where our treasure is. This morning, where's your treasure? Is it in the bank down in Sparta? On deposit. Maybe you've got enough, it's in several banks on deposit because they only cover it up to so many dollar amounts. I don't know. But where's your treasure? Is it sitting at home under a cover to keep it clean and pristine? Where's your treasure? Is it pulling out your checkbook and looking at the balance and saying, whoo boy, that's so pretty. Some people have that. That's where their treasure is. That's where their heart is. Or is your treasure in doing what God wants us and tells us in His Word that we should do? And He'll give us all that other stuff too. It's not a sin to have those things. No. He wants to give you things. He wants to make sure you're blessed. He just don't want to come between you and Him. Oh, it's His pleasure to give us things. To give us the kingdom. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, if you remember. We think that we own them. We're just stewards of what we have here. We don't actually own it because somebody else will come behind us and they'll have it. And we'll pass it down. But the things that we truly have are the things that we have in heaven. Amen. That we truly have are in heaven. For where your treasure is, there's so many people that's treasure is here in the things that they own. The things they possess. Some have found out through sickness and things that things are not that great a thing when it comes to your health and to your well-being. That those things don't matter a lot. You might find comfort in them for a short time, but they're not going to give you comfort for your heart. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now listen, are we ready? Are we prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? We talk about seeking the kingdom of God and laying up treasure there in heaven, but are we prepared? Are we girded? Are we dressed, ready to see Him? Do we have our lights burning upon the return of the bridegroom? Because in the Jewish tradition, you know, you've heard this before, the bride waited for the bridegroom to come, not the other way around. Are we waiting for the return of the bridegroom? We are his bride. Are we looking? Are we saying, oh, that's been preached and I'm not worried about it and I ain't going to put no time in thinking about it? He tells us to watch and pray. He tells us to be ready. He tells us to have our loins girded and our lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, which he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knoweth, they may open unto him immediately. Immediately. How is our response to God? Do we immediately act when he speaks to us? Do we move immediately upon the urging of God to do something, or do we have to have constant chiding from him that we'll step out and do it? Or do we step out on faith when he speaks? As his children, many times we have to have constant reminders of what we know to do. Sound familiar? Is your kids like that? If not, boy, they're all different from mine. And they were growing up. Constant reminders. That way we finally get, oh, one day the light turns on. Now I'm supposed to do that all the time. We're the same way as children of God. Sometimes after the constant remindings, all of a sudden one day it's like, the light turns on and we know. This is what God wanted me to do all along. And he's a long-suffering God and he's patient with us. But do we open to him immediately? Are we ready? And then we see here a beatitude in verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And it's not talking about television. It's not talking about watching your neighbors. This is watching for the return of God. Watching for the return of Jesus to call his church home. Blessed are those. Those are promises given by God to us, his children, if we are found watching on his return. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. The marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to call us home to be with him. He's going to set us down to the feast. And he's going to gird himself and once again serve humanity. He's going to humble himself and become a servant once again. When he is the one that should be seated at the table and us waiting upon him. But that's not his heart. His heart is to wait upon his children. To give us the kingdom. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now the second and third watch, that's going to be up late in the night. Mark Lowry said one time he didn't realize that 4 o'clock come twice in one day. That'll hit some of the rest of you when you get home. But are we watching no matter what time of the day or the night? I've told you and some of you that I've been with lately, that if you ever need me, it don't matter what time of day it is, and that's what I mean. It may take me a while in the middle of the night to answer the phone, but if you need me, I'll be there to the best of my ability. I'll be there. But are we prepared and ready in the second or third watch of the night to be looking for Jesus to return? Are we prepared? Are we looking for his return? And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. We buy alarm systems and all these things to protect our homes. We put out signs if we don't have the alarm system saying that it's protected. Some even have signs that says forget the dog or forget the alarm. My house is protected by Smith & Wesson. And all these other things that we do to provide protection. But if we truly knowed when Jesus was coming, we'd be prepared, we would be looking, we'd be seeking, we'd be telling everyone we knew what day he was coming. So why do we not tell them now? His return is imminent. It could be at any moment, any day, any hour, any second. This service may not end before he comes again. But are we prepared? Are we ready? Is our friends, have they heard from you the story? Or when it comes time for their great judgment, are we going to be there in the presence, seeing them judged, and hear them say, they never told me about Jesus. Lived beside me all these years. Worked with me. Talked with me. We fished together. We hunted together. But never took time to tell me about Jesus. Went shopping together. Ate lunch together many times. Had many opportunities, but never mentioned Jesus. How sad it would be, friends. How sad it would be. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Now I can just about guarantee you one thing. On December 21st, Jesus is not going to return. You say, preacher, that's a pretty bold statement. Why are you saying that? Because they say the Mayan calendar ends there and they don't know what's going to happen after it. God knows what's going to happen. If He returns that day, then great and wonderful. But friend, when man starts saying that it's the end of time, you can just about count on it. Jesus is not coming that day. He's got an appointed time, and God the Father knows when it is. But He tells us to be ready. To be ready. Reminds me of the old farmer that was putting in a corner fence post, and the new preacher came by and he walked up to him and he was wanting to invite people to church and to the revival service and things and trying to just introduce himself. And he walked up to the little farmer there that was putting in the corner post, and he said, sir, are you lost? He said, well, no. He said, I've lived here all my life. He said, no, sir. He said, you don't understand me. He said, are you ready for the rapture? He said, well, when's it going to be? He said, well, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. He said, don't tell my wife. She'll want to go both days. But we need to be ready. And we need to make sure that we communicate what we're trying to say to where people understand. There they were both were talking, but not about the same thing. When we are telling people about Jesus, we need to make sure that they're understanding about His love. It's not just the doctrine that we need to teach. We need to teach God's Word and let it settle in our hearts to be ready. The only way we can be ready is to know the Word, to look, because there's not going to be a point into the time when Jesus says, come up hither. There will be signs from that point on. And friend, if you see here seeing those signs, I'm sorry that you missed going with us in the rapture. But it's going to take place. Be ready. Watch. Be looking. Have your loins girded about. Make preparation now. Because when it happens, there won't be time for preparation. You remember the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 had oil in their lamps and were prepared that when the bridegroom came, whether it was day or night, they would be able to go. The other 5 had no oil in their lamp. And when He came, and they were there asleep waiting, and the cry was made that He comes, and they trimmed their lamps and they lit them, they had no oil. Their lights weren't prepared. Their loins weren't girded about. They wasn't ready for the return of the bridegroom. Church, I pray that we are all ready to meet the bridegroom. Amen. But unfortunately, sometimes in a congregation this size, you've not made preparation. You've got a head knowledge of Jesus, but you don't have a heart knowledge of salvation through Jesus. And I'm not saying that, preacher, that you're going to get lost again. That don't happen. But have you truly had a conversion with Jesus Christ? You can come to an altar and have a cry and feel better. But you must have a relationship with Jesus. And you know if you have. You know if He's made a difference in your life. You know if He's living inside. You know. I don't have to tell you. No one else has to tell you. No one else can tell you. That's something only you can know. Now, you will prove it through your life if He is in there. If He has saved you and is living in you, you'll be different. People will be able to see it. Your fruit will change. But you must be ready this morning. You must be ready. You must be prepared. Just as we make preparation for Thanksgiving meal, just as we make preparation for Christmas, Some you may have breakfast. Some you may have supper. Some you may get up at 3 o'clock and can't wait any longer to have to open presents and different things. I remember I just couldn't wait the anticipation of things of just getting up that morning. We should have that same anticipation for the return of Jesus, for that moment when we take a flight and know that we're going home. Know in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, that it's not going to be like this any longer. Some are being called out by the way of the grave. Had two funerals here in the last week, and if God doesn't intervene and change things, probably have another one within the next coming week. It seems like that we are leaving faster than we are being put back on this earth. But all it tells me is heaven's tide is swelling. The family's getting bigger there, waiting on our return to be with them, waiting on Jesus to call us home. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Where is your heart? Where's your treasure? This morning, if you're not saved, Jesus wants to save you. Best Christmas present that could be given to you is the true love of Jesus. And it's free this morning. We don't have to go pick it up anywhere else. Jesus has it this morning, and He wants to give it to you, but you must reach out and take it. As we stand to our feet with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, everyone praying across the building, there's one here this morning that's lost. Pray for them that they'll surrender to Jesus. And it's not a surrender of being dominated by a victor. It is a surrender unto having all that heaven obtained and all that heaven has for you in store, and to have that heavenly home with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, maybe you're here and you're lost. Friend, would you just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've heard what you said this morning, and I know I'm lost, and I know that I'm not prepared for that return of Jesus." Friend, if you can't say heaven would be your home, if you died right now, you need to be making the preparation that it talked about, girding your loins and preparing your lights and have them burning. Would you just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me." Maybe this morning, just I'd like to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you that my loins are girded, my lamps trimmed and burning. I am prepared and ready. Dear God, if you want to come now, so be it. But Lord, if you want to tarry, I'm still looking and waiting for you. God, I just want to thank you. Thank you that soon you are returning and going to take us home." There be any. Bless those hands. Friend, maybe you got a special request or special prayer this morning. You'd like to bring it to this altar. Would you just step out and come? Lay it out up here for Jesus to hear. He'd take your burden and carry it. Take it all the way to the throne room of God. Take that weight off your shoulders, because you're not able to bear it, but Jesus is. You have someone that's lost? Bring them. Do you have someone that don't understand what Christmas is about? Bring them. You have someone this morning that's just in need, whatever it might be? Bring it. Do you have someone this morning that you know needs salvation? Bring them. There's still room. There's plenty coming, but there's plenty more room if you'd like to come. Will you step out and come this morning? Oh, I don't want to have to go to the woodshed and have a whipping because I didn't come. God, if He's impressing on your heart, please step out and come. It's better to be obedient than have to suffer those spiritual whippings. Will you come? Some are still stepping out and coming. We'll wait on you. You may be seated where you are. Dear Heavenly Father, as many have come this morning, Lord, we pray, dear God, for them, Lord, that you would just, whatever their needs are, Lord, this morning, as they spill their heart to you, God, that you just answer according to your will. We thank you for loving us and always being a friend to us. We thank you for loving us to the point that you will chasten those that you love to keep us corrected and in the right path. We pray that you would help us keep our loins girded and our lamps burning, that we would look with eyes of anticipation of your imminent return. Dear God, realizing that as this world continues to grow more evil, dear Lord, that it just means that we're getting closer to that day when you'll call us home. God, we pray for our country this morning that is in so desperate a need of you. Lord, the nation so divided, this one against that one. Lord, and we pray that you would bring us together, because we know that you're not the author of confusion. You're not the one that causes separation. You bring together people, dear Heavenly Father, of all different backgrounds, of all different financial means and different things, and put us all on the same level playing ground, either lost or saved. God, you have no respect of person. You don't see the skin color. You don't see our stature as being big or little in your eyes. What you see is us as someone who is in need of a Savior. And God, we pray that you would open our eyes to help us to have the same vision, that we are all children of God, that we are all deserving of the same thing. But dear Jesus, that you brought us all the same salvation. And God, we thank you this morning. Thank you that I didn't have to qualify for it, but God, that you made the qualification. Dear God, I pray that you would bless these that are gathered this morning, those that are praying in their seats. Dear God, whatever their petitions are, you know each one, dear God, as we pray. Lord, for the special requests that are made by uplifted hand, those that are traveling of the congregation, Lord, bring them back safe. Dear God, as they journey and have time off, we pray that you bring them back safe and sound. And dear God, for the imminent return that is just on the horizon, we look with hearts aflutter for the return and you calling us home to be with you. God, help us to tell people what Christmas is truly about, and that we do it in a way of love, that we draw people unto you. Go with us now and lead us and guide us. May everything that's said and done be according to thy will, and that you get honor and praise and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember the sign-up sheet on the back table for the food for next Sunday night, for after the program. So we're looking forward to this, and be here at 6 o'clock tonight for play practice, and be ready for that, and pray for them as they make preparation. Know it's going to be great; it always is, and all things will come together. And it comes down to the last practice or two, and you think, is this ever going to come together like I'm wanting it to come together? And the Lord always intervenes, and it's just exactly right. And I'm thankful that he sometimes lets us get anxious about it, but we don't have to worry, because he'll bring her together like he always does. Do remember these things. I'd like to meet with the ones from the youth committee as we make gonna need to finalize some plans for Wednesday night, for just a few minutes after church today. Just take just a few minutes about getting those fruit baskets information together so we can get that done. So just remember that, and please stay so we can get that taken care of.